Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something seriously useful for jungle and old-school DNB, a base wobble push system in Ableton Live 12, controlled by macros so you can perform the bass like an instrument instead of treating it like a static preset. And just to be clear, this is not about making one giant wobble and calling it done. The real goal is a bass rack that can move between steady sub-pressure, syncopated pushes, rolling phrases, and tension moments with a few smart controls. That's the kind of system that actually works in a track, because DNB bass is always interacting with the drums, the arrangement, and the low-end headroom. So let's think like producers, but also like mix engineers for a second. If your bass movement is too wide, too distorted, or too chaotic, it's going to fight the kick, smear the sub, and cause problems later in mastering. But if the movement is designed properly, you get power, clarity, and excitement all at once. That's the sweet spot. We're going to build this with stock Ableton devices only, using an instrument rack with a clean sub chain and a moving mid-bass chain. Then we'll map macros to control push, release, grit, motion, sub safety, and stereo discipline. That gives you a proper performance tool, not just a sound design patch. First, set up your instrument rack on a MIDI track and split it into two chains. One chain is your sub, and one is your mid-bass. This separation is the foundation of the whole system. On the sub chain, use operator with a sine wave. Keep it simple. Oscillator A only. No unnecessary extras. You want the sub to be solid and clean, not loud and messy. In DNB, the sub should feel like pressure, not attention-seeking distortion. If you want, you can add a little velocity response later, but keep the core stable. On the mid-bass chain, use wave-eatable or another operator instance with a saw or square bass tone. This is where the character lives. For jungle and old-school-inspired DNB, you don't need hyper-aggressive modern Euro brightness all the time. You want that lower mid-growl, that rolling movement, that slightly gritty Reese-like motion that locks in with the breakbeat. Now add utility to each chain. On the sub-chain, set the width to 0%. Keep that low-end mono, always. On the mid-chain, you can leave more stereo interest if you want, but don't let the low end smear. Then add EQ 8 to both chains. High pass the mid bass around 100 to 140 Hz, so it leaves room for the sub. If needed, gently low pass or clean up the sub chain so it stays focused around the fundamental. At this point, the bass should already feel organized. That's important. A lot of people start with a wobble, but the real professional move is to build the separation first, because everything you add after that will behave better. Next, let's create movement in the mid-bass chain. Add auto filter. LP24 is a great starting point if you want that classic filter movement, but BP can also work if you want a more nasal, energetic character. Keep the drive moderate. Then add saturator after that. Give it a little drive, maybe 2 to 8 dB depending on the sound, and turn soft clip on if you want safer density. You can also add a touch of redux if you want a bit of grime, but use that carefully. Jungle grit is cool. Digital destruction is not the goal unless that's specifically the vibe. Now here's where the macro system comes in. We're not just mapping one knob to one filter. We are building a set of performance controls that each affect several parameters at once. That's the advanced part. Create macros for push, release, grit, motion, sub clamp, and stereo guard. Push is your main energy macro. As you turn it up, it should open the filter, increase saturation, and maybe deepen modulation a little. This gives you more perceived aggression without just turning the whole bass up in volume. Release is the opposite. It should pull the sound back into the groove. Lower the cutoff, ease the resonance down, and soften the drive. This is important because the return to zero is just as musical as the build-up. In jungle and old-school DNB, that inhale and exhale effect can make the bass feel alive. Grit controls the dirt. Map it to saturator drive, maybe a touch of redux, or drum boss if you're using it on the mid layer. This is your texture knob. Motion controls the actual movement. That might mean filter modulation depth, phaser amount, wave-eatable position movement, or another subtle motion source. Keep it musical. Not every section needs full-on seasick wobble. Sub-clamp is your safety control. Use it to make sure none of the excitement spills into the sub-chain. If the rack starts getting too wild, this macro should help preserve low-end control. Stereo guard keeps the bottom end disciplined. The sub should stay mono, and the mid should only widen where it's safe. This macro is less about cool sound and more about making sure the bass translates in the mix and in mastering. Now think about macro ranges, not just macro actions. That's a big advanced concept. A good macro should do more than one thing, but it shouldn't do everything in the same way. For example, a small turn on push might brighten the mid layer a little, while a full turn also increases drive and opens the movement more dramatically. That way the control is playable. It feels like an instrument. Now let's make the bass actually behave rhythmically. In jungle and old school DnB, the bass has to interact with the breakbeat. It should feel like part of the drum performance, not a separate synth line sitting on top. Program a 1-bar or 2-bar MIDI phrase. Leave space around the kick and snare. Use short offbeat notes, some syncopated tails, and maybe a longer note in a gap where the drums breathe. A good pattern might answer the break in bar 1. Hold a little more in bar 2, then open up before the next snare return. That call and response feeling is classic. It's part of what makes the groove bounce. Also, don't be afraid of velocity variation and ghost notes. A slightly different velocity on repeated notes can add life. A tiny pitch movement or a little note length variation can make the bass feel more human and more like a real phrase. Now automate the macros like you're arranging the track, not just decorating it. This is crucial. In the intro, keep push low, grit low, and motion moderate. You want the identity of the bass to be there, but not fully unleashed yet. In the first drop, raise push on selected bars. Maybe not everywhere, because if everything is always intense, nothing feels special. Bring it up on the last part of an 8-bar phrase, or on the bar before a transition. That creates lift. Then, just before the next section, get a stronger push moment, maybe 80 to 100% for a short burst. That forward lunge can feel huge if the rest of the phrase is restrained. Use release to pull back into breakdowns or breathers. That inhaling effect is really effective in jungle because it gives the drums room to reset. Then when you bring the bass back, it feels even heavier. A good rule is to only move one or two macros dramatically at a time. If push, motion, grit, and stereo guard are all flying around constantly, the bass will get blurry and the groove will lose authority. So make your automation intentional. Think phrase ends, switch ups, and breakdown entrances. Now let's talk about the relationship with the drums. In DnB, the bass should push against the breakbeat, not overwhelm it. The break already has a lot of transient information, so your bass system needs to leave space. That's why the sub is mono, the mid is controlled, and the movement is focused in the upper part of the bass sound. If you want, put a glue compressor on the bass group or inside the rack chain for gentle glue. Keep it subtle. You're not trying to make the bass pump for no reason. You're just smoothing the interaction. A ratio of 2 to 1 or 4 to 1, with a moderate attack and a relaxed release, can be enough. If you're using drum bus, use it carefully. A little drive can help the mid layer cut through the breaks, but don't flatten the sound. The more your bass depends on master chain rescue, the less finished it really is. That's a mastering mindset check right there. A really powerful advanced move is to resample your macro movements. Record a few bars of the bass automation to audio. Then chop the result into fills, reverse swells, or pre-drop tension hits. That's huge for jungle-style arrangement, because it gives you those organic one-off moments that feel more alive than a perfectly looped synth line. You can make a 1-bar push hit before the drop, reverse a wobble tail into a snare pickup, or create a dry sub answer and a dirty mid-bass response. That kind of audio editing adds character fast. Now do a final safety pass. Use utility at the end of the mid-chain to control width. Keep the sub mono all the way through. If the bass gets too nasal, tame resonances around 2 to 5 kHz with EQ8. If it feels too spiky, soften with soft clipping instead of overcompressing it, and always check the bass at low volume. If it only sounds exciting when the limiter is doing all the work, the rack isn't really finished yet. A few common mistakes to avoid here. Don't make the wobble too wide. Don't overdrive the sub. Don't use one macro to control everything. Don't ignore the breakbeat. And don't use the same energy level all the way through the arrangement. The best jungle and old school DnB bass lines have contrast. They breathe, they push, they relax, and then they hit again. For darker, heavier variations, try a tiny bit of pitch modulation on the mid layer or add a very quiet noise layer for extra air and edge. You can also let push open more harmonics rather than just making the bass louder. That's a key point. A lot of perceived aggression comes from spectral movement, not raw level. If you want a quick practice routine, build a 2-bar loop in a minor key, maybe D minor, F minor, or G minor. Set up the 2-chain rack, program short offbeat notes in bar 1, and a longer note into the snare hit in bar 2. Map push, release, grit, and motion. Then automate push up near the end of bar 1, pull release down at the start of bar 2, and add a little grit on the final note. Bounce it to audio and listen in stereo, then mono, then at low volume. The goal is simple. The bass should drive the breakbeat forward without stepping on the kick or snare. If it feels static, Widen your macro ranges. If it feels messy, narrow them and improve the separation. So the big takeaway is this. Build your base as a mono sub plus a moving mid-base system. Give each macro a clear job, automate with arrangement in mind, and keep the low-end discipline so the whole thing stays club solid and mastery friendly. Indeed, NB, the best wobble isn't just movement. It's movement with discipline. And when you get that balance right, the bass stops being a sound effect and starts becoming part of the tune's identity. Now let's build it, automate it, and make it hit.